This is Ouija Boards and Midnight Marks, where a spirit board conversation sparked our spiritual evolution. I'm Shale.
And I'm Cheyenne. And each week, we explore a world where there is much more than meets the eye. So pour yourself a drink and join us as we cheers to a witchin' good time.
Welcome back, Ouija babies. It's another Sunday. And we are coming back with a staple. Cheyenne's strangling her cat.
Well, she's biting.
Off camera, you can't see.
As soon as we started.
She's not actually strangling your cat, just like giving her lots of love. But Telly's definitely giving me help me eyes, so.
Apologies. Blink twice.
I hope everyone has had a good start to their January. It's crazy that we're already at the third week of January.
Gross.
When this is going to be going out, but time flies when you're having fun, you know?
Truly. Are we having fun? is that what we're having?
Yeah, we're definitely, you know, full disclosure, we get to a burnout stage every season at some point. But that's
only
also
because we, in our infinite wisdom, decided that our already busiest time of year is the best time of year for us to also host a podcast.
Right. We do that for you all.
Yeah, we do it for the vibes. It's for the aesthetic. But that's fine. We love it. We're back. We're refreshed.
I think all creatives go through some sort of stage like this.
Yeah, if you don't get to a point where you're questioning all of your choices, you're probably not creating anything.
And full disclosure, it's not that we don't love the podcast. We absolutely do. It's like all the other things with the podcast, like being amateur Instagrammers, you know, like we grew up with Instagram. We're still not good at it. We do our best, you know.
I miss the days of just uploading a crappy point and shoot pic and slapping a Valencia filter on it and being like, damn.
Yeah. Nice little border for some extra flavor. Yeah.
Remember Pixel or whatever that?
Oh gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Whatever that.
Some nostalgia.
We were all adding an insane amount of text to all of our pictures.
Yeah. And little like sunglasses emojis.
Oh, everywhere.
Yeah. Good times. It was fun being an elder millennial, you know?
Are we dead?
Oh,
we
yeah.
We still are. It was fun.
Well, we still are elder millennials.
It was fun, but we changed our mind. We're going to pick a different generation now.
Could you imagine? That might be kind of fun.
Just try it on for size.
Yeah. Anyway, what are you drinking, Cheyenne?
Great question. Today, I am drinking tea that was sent to me by one of my friends in Alaska from the Wild Wellness Farm. It's called Wild Mountain, and it's Alaskan wildcrafted herbal tea. It's fireweed leaf, nettle, raspberry leaf, and wild geranium flowers.
That sounds divine, actually.
It's quite nice. I think it's nettle that reminds me of alfalfa.
Mm-hmm. It's got a very like green flavor to it.
Yeah. Big horse girl vibes this morning. I feel like I'm just like chomping on some juicy hay.
Oh my God.
Every time I drink nettle. I like that, but
every time I drink nettle now, I'm gonna be thinking of that. That's hysterical.
Yeah, I just feel like I should be brushing off some boots or something. What are you drinking?
Dust. I am just having a standard cup of Joe. But I want you to look at my little mug. So this is something my in-laws got me for Christmas because they're very into the as seen on TV stuff. So we always get some sort of like unique gadget for Christmas. But this one's actually like kind of cool. It's a little ceramic mug and then it's got this little topper on it.
Oh, cute.
And it keeps your coffee warm. Like how cute is that?
I love that.
And then it's got little like paw prints all over it. It's got very like grandparent-y vibes. So
totes.
Yeah. But just a little cup of coffee. And again, we're not recording this at midnight because we're in bed by 8 o'clock people. So we record at 8 a.m. people.
31. Like, it's not happening.
Yeah.
It's not.
I was just thinking about that actually with the as seen on TV stuff. Like, this used to be something that you were like held hostage by, you know, when you were up at like 2 a.m. and that was literally all that was on TV. Advertisements or like the 50-year edition of Barry Manilow CDs, you know?
Oh, so good. I love waking up, or I miss waking up to like a 2:30, 3 a.m. like infomercial loop of some mixed CD set, like best of Neil Diamond.
Right. George Strait. That was
in
a common
this
one too.
Specific collector's cassette set that you can only get if you order it right now in the next hour for $19.95.
And if you call in the next 30 minutes, we'll drop another 10% off. So you have to take the deal.
Why do you want just one of these knives? If you call right now, we'll send you five. You'll have no fucking clue what to do with them. It's a great deal.
Good times. Good times.
Anyway.
We are back for an herb corner today. I'm so excited.
Herb corner. I'm excited. I love herb corner.
I do too. For understandable reasons.
You like plants?
I do. I kind of like them a little bit.
What tarot deck are we drawing from today?
So we're actually doing an oracle deck because Shale has never had an oracle deck, believe it or not. And I just felt like 2024 is the year to have one.
The year of the oracle.
I got this really cool, really pretty oracle deck that was just kind of barking at me in a gem shop over New Year's weekend. And it's called the Sacred Spirit Oracle deck by Anna Stark. It's super pretty. I'll post pictures of it on our Instagram because it's got very like celestial Patronus type vibes, I would say.
Totally, that's what the cover looks like.
So we're gonna just draw an oracle deck to see what the vibes are for this episode, and this is the first time I've ever drawn from this deck, so heard it here first, peeps.
Christening. I love it. We'll get to know her in the air.
Okay, this is actually perfect.
Cute.
So we got the Ground Your Light card.
Aww.
So it depicts a person sitting on the earth with like their chakra centers lit up. And it says, let your soul shine. And we will see what else it says about it. Because obviously this is the first time I'm using it, so I don't know what they mean.
That's never stopped me.
18. All right, it says, the method of grounding our energy bodies, auric fields, and consciousness is to solidify our being in the present. Through the grounding process, our emotional, physical, and spiritual bodies become unified, bringing balance and well-being to our soul and spirit. While this practice can be challenging, it is important for you to remember you are influenced energetically by your environment. Grounding anchors your energetic fields and connects you to your emotional body while being present and mindful within those moments. Strengthening your aura and emotional and physical body is the primary goal of mindfulness, as we feel everything that we experience through this energetic space. So it says bringing in new light energy through your crown and anchoring your sacred self through your earth chakras will assist the grounding process. More importantly, never give power to anyone to dim your light. You are a lighthouse and deserve to shine your light across the night. So it says shadow aspects are shyness, people pleaser, and self-sacrifice. So when you're feeling ungrounded, those are the types of things that happen. They even give us a crystal. So it says your sacred crystal is red jasper. And the affirmation is, I ground and anchor my divine light in my heart. I am free.
Oh, I love that.
And it is perfectly, okay, this is very validating and very synchronistic because I changed our herb corner topic at like the last absolute possible minute this morning and was feeling more of this vibe. And today, as you've probably already seen in the title, we are talking about herbs for groundedness and your nervous system. So voila.
Universe always knows.
They always know. So the reason that I was feeling kind of called to do this episode is because, you know, this season has been a lot of fun, but we're also covering a lot of very like dark, dark, spooky concepts and a lot of, you know, harder to digest stories that have a lot of trauma and tragedy associated with them. Stories that definitely deserve to be heard, but also come with a lot of feels, I would say.
Yes.
So I was just thinking, compared with that, and then also the fact that, you know, we are living in a very challenging time right now, energetically. I mean, we have a literal genocide going on in Gaza, among wars over the world, and the economy is in flux. You know, it's just a tough time for everybody. And I was just like, I feel like our nervous systems really need that nourishment anyway, but it just feels especially pertinent right now.
Yes, because it's also really important. While it is super important to do these grounding practices, to take care of yourself, to understand when you need to take those breaks, it's also very important to not look away from what's happening in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And leaning on some of these herbal allies can help make those hard conversations a little bit easier.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, a quick disclaimer, I am still recovering from a cold. So if I sound extra froggy today, it's also morning froggy voice anyway, but then combined with I was ill for the last couple of weeks. So I'm sorry if I sound gross.
You are okay. We appreciate people showing up exactly as they are.
Thank you. Thank you.
In every moment.
All right. So, this episode is, of course, going out January 21st, but we are, as we are recording it, it's happening around the time of the new year. And I tempted to be one of those people who, like, very much loves things like New Year's intentions. I tend to do it twice a year because we do Witch's New Year around Samhain. So I do intention setting at that point. But also, I love the New Year too. I just don't know. I'm one of those people that likes fresh starts and challenging myself. But also I just wanted to like kind of ground us in the time of the year, right? And I think we talk about this during Samhain, but our bodies are not meant to live by the Gregorian calendar. I mean, full disclosure, that was a calendar that was just made up by a dude in the church who decided he wanted light to work a certain way, I guess. So for a lot of us around the time of the new year, it doesn't quite feel energetically right to be like starting new things. It feels like we should be in deep hibernation mode because we really should be.
I am not a New Year's girly. I mean, I am a New Year's girly. I am not a New Year's January New Year's girly.
Right.
I tend to view my new year both at Samhain. So this is kind of funny. I feel like I celebrate mine in like 2.5 times a year, where my actual new year for me is my solar return. I think it makes a lot more sense for me personally to.
So like a little bit before Samhain then for you.
Yeah. So, and part of that is because of when my birthday happens too. My birthday is the end of September. That's the season that I feel like I'm coming back to life and feeling inspired and doing all the things. But it feels like a more measurable, like, benchmark for me to hit and look back and reflect on for myself personally. But I also really love, like, Imbolc as a new year.
Yes, definitely.
I feel like that's when I, like, spring intention setting is really big for me too. So while I really like, I think there are a lot of great, like, I like a new chapter. I like a fresh slate, like you do too. But my new year like goals tend to be more, it's more of a checkpoint for me where it's like, okay, let's look back at what we were doing at Samhain. Where are we now? Where are we going? And then I like to set really fun quote unquote resolutions, which isn't a word that I love, but like always having fresh flowers in the house.
Yeah. Or,
like, I like to do stuff that's outside of like me personally, like outside of demanding growth, and instead is like, this is what I want to do to enjoy my life a little bit more.
Yeah.
So, and wherever you sit.
Totally. And I loved the kind of trend that I saw going around on TikTok this season, of like the 2024 ins and outs. So it's not even really necessarily like intention setting, but it was more like, what am I still carrying that I no longer want to, or like what habits do I want to kind of readjust? So instead of being like, I'm going to lose 30 pounds by whatever, it was like, I'm going to just like incorporate more rest, or I'm going to walk more, or whatever, like these kind of like just gentler approaches to that kind of check-in that you're talking about. And I really love that.
Yeah.
So I also really love In Bulk as well. And I think that there's like an energy behind it. First of all, I love Brigid. So like anything to celebrate her, but also I love that it's really this holiday that really honors the coming back of the light. Like that's really what it is meant to be. And it's like honoring that quickening that starts to happen, you know, where like for Samhain, I also think it's really beautiful to think about life beginning from death kind of a thing. And I really appreciate that approach, but sometimes it also does kind of feel a little difficult to be like, I'm setting New Year's intentions and then moving into a rest period, you know? Totally. So it's always kind of like interesting to see, I feel similar where it's like, I have to have multiple points around the wheel where we can do these kind of energetic check-ins.
Yes. So.
But anyway, the reason I bring this up too is because while it's a cool time to do your check-in if you choose to, or if you are an intention setting person, that's beautiful. But also, you know, we just came out of a pretty intense holiday season around this time of year. And a lot of us are kind of feeling that energy. And I think a lot of people know, especially if you follow the Tova account, I'm currently in an apprenticeship with School of the Sacred Wild with Marisha Murnauska. And something that she really inspired us for this month to really think about was like, what does deep self-care mean? And like, how can we really sink into deep rest? And, you know, kind of lean into, this is our period of hibernation in January, because you don't really get to do it during the holiday season. So coupled with, you know, everything that's going on in the world, it just felt like we should be really thinking about this and how we can work with our herbal allies. So this episode is going to be a little bit less about the magical use of herbs, like what we've kind of been doing with some of the other herb corners, and more of like a practical use of them. And we're going to be exploring and experimenting what I call herbal layering. That's definitely not a term like that's official by any means. I just kind of came up with it today.
Cute. I love that. You heard it here first.
Right. Exactly. It is kind of a way we can think about how to use herbs on a daily basis. And this also wouldn't be an herb corner if I didn't have a disclaimer. So as our little disclaimer, in case the government decides to listen to this podcast, because, you know, we're popular, each one of us is unique. So please consult the trusted medical professional before beginning any sort of herbal protocol, especially if you take regular medication, just in case there's any kind of contraindications, which means like the way an herb can react with the pharmaceuticals. So just be thinking about that as we go through that. That being said, just because I have to have my disclaimer doesn't mean that we're going to be talking about herbs that are unsafe. Most of the herbs that are going to be talked about today are like very, very safe. So getting that out of the way.
Yes. For our legal team.
Mm-hmm. Because we definitely have like an attorney on standby and all that.
Yeah. Just waiting.
So when we would talk about the first layer, also, I'm going to work on that. I always say so when I start my next segment. So. For our first layer that we're going to discuss today, I want to talk about herbs and practices that really help us to ground. You know, when we think about helping our nervous system and kind of our overall wellness, we want to really have that foundation built. So really when we're nourishing our root or our root chakra, this is really getting to the basic needs of survival. So like nourishment and really what our sense of safety is. And when we work with herbs in this way, we're actually restoring vitality to our root chakra, which is of course our tether to the earth. If we're not feeling grounded, we also don't feel like we're able to slow down. We might be rushing to certain things. We might be just kind of living minute to minute. We're not really like present. We might feel anxious, or we might even feel fearful at times. Like we're not afraid, like we're just feeling afraid to live life, which is not really going to bring wellness or balance to anybody if we're feeling that way.
Fear is not a good motivator.
Right. And being grounded, of course, brings us back into our present moment. So to bring vitality to our root chakra, we work with herbs that are known as nourishing herbs. So if you really start getting into herbalism, this is kind of like chapter one. These are really the herbs that you start working with immediately. When we think about, especially kind of in Western cultures and whatnot, you know, our food nowadays is pretty depleted of true nourishment. We're missing a lot of those really vital vitamins and minerals that we would normally get from like the soil or, you know, eating a lot of wild crafted foods. We're not really hunter gatherers anymore. We go to the grocery store and we pick up the carrots that we need or whatever from commercial industry, right? So, our ancestors would have lived a very different way. They would have, of course, lived very seasonally, and they would have had access to types of foods that we just don't get nowadays. Unless you, of course, participate in wildcrafting and whatnot, but we're also living in a overpopulated earth and wildcrafting is not accessible to everyone. What's really interesting about a lot of the nourishing herbs is that in and of themselves, the reason that they're classified as a nourishing herb is because they have all of the vitamins and minerals that we really need to function well. And what's really cool about the way nature works, like I just get so jazzed about this, is that nature and plants in particular show up when we need them. So I get really excited when you think about, like, I think about Cheyenne in the desert all the time, and that you live in a place where there's lots of sun and there's very little water, but there's plants that literally exist in the environment that you're in to help with things like sunburns that don't grow in places where you don't really have to worry about sunburns, right?
Yeah.
Which is so fucking cool. Anyway.
It is fucking cool. Desert plants are wild, man.
What's that?
Desert plants are wild.
They're such a trip. Or the fact that, you know, things like plantain grows where there's a lot of poison ivy or bug bites. Mm-hmm. You know, it just fucking trips me out. I just love it. But what's really cool about the nourishing herbs is that they usually show up most prominently in the spring, in like the early spring, after we've just gone through a really deep winter, or like we don't have a lot of nourishment. And so it's like this kind of way of nature being like, okay, you know, you were just in this period of hibernation and rest. We're living a lot of like off of a lot of stored meals that are depleted from nutrients themselves. But then like really early in the spring, you start getting these really green, vibrant plants. So you get a lot of dandelion very early in the spring. You get chickweed very early in the spring and violet. And they're just like, when you look at these plants, they're just deeply, deeply green. And what that communicates to us and what our ancestors would have understood that as is like, this means that this is meant to be food and it'll bring that vitality and restoration back to you. And that's something we've kind of lost too in our modern society, is like learning from how nature communicates to us. And like, we probably look at things like nettle and feel that somewhere in our body. But once you start bringing more awareness to it, it's really cool to see. But we also have these herbs that kind of show up throughout the spring into the early summer, and then they start to die back. But some of them, like nettle, do return in the fall as like this last kind of, hey, get your last stop for nourishment before we go into the winter, which again, I just think is so cool. It makes me want to cry. So some of the nourishing herbs that we really work with a lot are things like nettles, burdock root, dandelion, chickweed, violet, those herbs that I've kind of already mentioned. And what's really beautiful about these two is that there's really nowhere in the world that they're considered endangered. They're just deeply abundant. They're weeds to a lot of people. And I think something, I just think that's something really beautiful about these herbs too, is that not only are they meant to help bring nourishment back, but they're so widely available. And there's really not a continent or a country where these don't exist. Maybe Antarctica, but there's nobody really living there, so we're fine. So I just think that's super cool too. Winds aren't
having dandelion salad. Oh my God, I can't talk.
Wouldn't that be sweet? Little penguin dandelion salad. I love it.
Little penguins.
And so we can also work with, obviously we have like the nourishing herbs, but there's also a lot of root medicine we can work with. And it's also thinking about the time of year, right? So in the spring, obviously we're going to be thinking about like a lot of the greens, but we also want to feel more grounded as we go into rest periods. You know, when we're thinking about the fall and the winter, that tends to be a time of sickness. We tend to get more flu and colds and stuff like that this time of year. And also when we're thinking about how we live seasonally, our ancestors would have understood how to work with the energies of that. And so in the fall, a lot of the times the plants are starting to die back and they're starting to put all of their energy into their roots so that they can survive over the winter and come back in the spring. And what's really beautiful is when we work with plants, we're actually, you know, in a way absorbing their energetic properties in addition to what they physically do for our body. And I think it's really cool to start working with roots in the fall, because that helps us to really think about how we're tending to our own root. How are we preparing ourselves for this period of deep rest? And how are we preparing ourselves to kind of go through an underworld journey? You know, we don't tend to think about that in our modern times of, you know, what does it really mean for us to turn inward in the fall and the winter? We just kind of keep going as status quo. And that's why a lot of us feel very burnt out this time of year, because we're ignoring those like inner messages that we're receiving. So when you want to work with root medicine, a lot of the things that are really popular in the fall are things like burdock root. Again, it might be something that's harvested in the spring, but this is where you can start thinking about how you incorporate a lot of those like hard parts of plants into things like soups and making stocks, or those kind of warming, cozy drinks. So marshmallow is a good one in the fall, or more of like the spicy herbs like turmeric and ginger. Those are all kind of more root type herbs as well. So just, I love how everything comes together in herbalism of aligning with the seasons in addition to like what it means in your body. And we start thinking of ourselves in this bigger picture.
Yeah, it's always a good reminder that's where we come from, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think we forget, especially in like very urban populations, you're going through these like daily motions. You forget that you are a wild animal. Like, you were always, right. You were always meant to be existing in harmony with these seasons, as opposed to like working against them or forging your own. Like, the cycle is the cycle because it works. Like, that's that's how our bodies were built.
Absolutely. And I do feel like a lot of people, when they want to start living seasonally, feel like a sense of overwhelm. Like, where do I even start? And really what I kind of say to that is like, just kind of start by feeling, you know, what are you feeling at certain times of the year? Like, do you feel more tired in the winter? What does that mean for you? What can you do to help nourish that? Do you feel more vibrant in the spring? What does that mean for you? You know, and just kind of just align your energies that way. And then you can start building upon that versus trying to be like, okay, in the spring I need to eat nettle, and in the summer I need to like have refreshing drinks, and in the winter I need to have roots. I don't know, you know, so. And the reason I start with these kind of nourishing herbs as kind of the starting point for this conversation is that herbs are very, I don't know if complex is the right word, but they have multi-purpose in a lot of ways. And something that's really cool about that is the fact that, yes, these herbs can be considered food medicine. They help to bring that nourishment back to us. But a lot of these herbs actually do also have anxiety reducing type properties. When we talk about our whole body as a whole system, yes, you can restore the root chakra, but if you have something that's deeply restorative in your body, it's going to help with things like frayed nerves or, you know, overstimulated elements of your body or whatever that looks like. But I want to start with these, of course, because we want to have our tether. We want to have that foundation that brings us back to what my teacher calls earth pace, which I really love that word, what it means to kind of slow down and be really present and grounded. But some of the nourishing herbs, like oat straw, for example, so literally the herb that oatmeal is made out of, is like this absolute queen of nourishment to the nervous system. So it brings all these minerals and vitamins, but it really works in restoring those like frayed nervous system nerves that like have just been like overutilized, and we're feeling adrenal fatigue, and we're feeling that like chronic fatigue of like, I just don't know if I can keep going. I just am so overstressed. It actually gets in and works in those places. So you can, and like, what I love about that is that it's like really accessible, right? You can eat oatmeal as breakfast, and that's a way of like working with this plant. Or you can work with it in a tincture is really popular. So this herb has these little what are called milky oat tops. So it's like the very top part of the herb, and they actually have like a little piece of it at the beginning that like in the early spring actually has like a little drop of milk in it. And it's only around for like that very early spring time. And people can tincture that. And it's just like this absolute magic nervous system tonic. And or you can just drink it as a tea. So there's like multiple ways that you can use it and incorporate it into your life. And that's what I wanted to kind of touch on in this episode too, is your herbal practice is really what you can make it, right? So if you want to get witchy, you can in working with these herbs in really any capacity. And what I want us to think about and kind of maybe challenge ourselves for this month when we're thinking about things like self-care is how we make magic out of the mundane, and like how we really think about moving beyond this just being a simple practice or something that's kind of like quote unquote boring. Because I think we talk about it a lot on this podcast, but when we talk about wanting to live a more witchy lifestyle or more magical lifestyle, we feel like we have to have like this really curated life. But really it can be as simple as building a routine out of making an overnight infusion, which is just a tea that you let steep overnight. Like that's very simple and mundane, but that's the most magical way to work with the nourishing herbs because they need that long period of time to really draw out all of the vitamins and minerals. And my first teacher, Tanya Reichle, spoke to this really beautifully where she's like, can you think about maybe you want your infusion to align with the moon phase? So can you put your infusion in the window under the full moon and see how that changes the outcome of the alchemy that really happens with your infusion? Or, you know, she always talked about having this ritual of tucking her infusion in at night. So she would steep, or she would put her herb material into a French press and then pour hot water over it just to make a tea. But then she'd have a very special like cloth that was only utilized for this purpose. And she'd speak her intentions into the tea, thank the herbs, and then just tuck it in for the night. And I just think that's really beautiful.
That's so cute.
Isn't that so sweet? Tucking your
herbs. I love that.
Or, you know, you can get really fun with it. Like, do you want to have your tea have the essence of a crystal that you're working with? Or maybe you set a tarot card that you want to infuse that energy underneath the cup for that night. You know, it's really what we can make it and how we can really build that magic in.
I love the tarot card idea. That's such a good, cause I like to draw a weekly card for my right. work week. Like that's very specific to my work week. And then it stays on my desk. But it would be nice, like what a good idea to like put my first morning cup of coffee on top of that card or next to that card for a little bit before, like to just recheck mm-hmm. in with that card and that energy every single morning. Oh, cutest.
Yeah. And, you know, these nourishing herbs, we often think of them as like food medicine and stuff like that. But a lot of them do have these really amazing metaphysical properties. Like nettle is incredibly useful for protection. And I think I talked about this actually in our episode, I think it was season 3, after coming back from Ireland and just seeing nettle in its like true abundant environment, where, you know, nettle in Colorado grows to be maybe a foot tall, but in Ireland it grows to be like taller than my husband even. And grows so abundantly and so large, but it also was always growing in places where the earth was disturbed or these like really ancient sacred sites. And you could just feel that protective energy. So is there ways that you, if you feel like you want to do protection workings, maybe work with nettle. We often think of things like rose with the thorns and like these really prominent features, but nettle has such power in that way, especially if you're wanting to protect wounds. You know, if you're going through a deep healing period, like nettle can be such a deep ally for that. So maybe that's an intention you can infuse into when you're working with your overnight infusion, just being like, hey, I want to call upon the protective energy of this as well. So many options. So I'm going to shift a little bit from the nervous or the nourishing herbs into more of the nervous system tonic herbs. And what these are known as in the herbal community is nervines. And so nervine just literally means it's restorative and beneficial to restoring the nervous system. And I want to also credit my teacher, Marisha Marnowska, here in this, because she has deeply inspired me in the way that we think about how our nervous system works. And so she gives a lot of credit to Dion Fortune, who defined magic. So Dion Fortune was one of kind of the original leaders of the occult movement. And so she defines magic as the ability to shift consciousness at will, which is such a simple definition, but I really love that. And when we think about who we are as witches, as people who want to live in alignment with the earth, it really is as simple as that. Mm-hmm. We create magic by shifting consciousness. And what I really love about Marisha's teachings is she builds upon that by saying, as witches, we truly want to master our nervous system. Because if we have a frayed nervous system, how can we begin to be conscious about anything, right? Yeah. And how can we kind of return back to that? So like really being able to have that ability to go through a stressful event, or, you know, like you were saying, see something about the horrible things that are going on in Gaza and not want to just necessarily turn away, but how can we face those kinds of things and want to, you know, participate in a meaningful way, but not just like turn off.
Yeah.
So having a balance between all those things and knowing when you do need to just turn off and come back to it later, right? So I just think that's a really beautiful way to approach how we think about how our nervous system can operate and how that can bring us power in this world. And I think when you think about the way our ancestors live too, that's a really beautiful just concept in general to think about how they lived in earth time because they were so tapped into how their nervous system worked. There was a lot of course, more of like the survival fight or flight thing, but they had to have this way of overcoming that in order to live in a day-to-day society. So the nervous system herbs really kind of work not only to restore, you know, where our nervous system needs some more support, but they actually help us to shift our own consciousness. And there's multiple ways that the brain waves work, you know, like we're in deep brain waves when we're sleeping or meditating. But what I love about the way the nervous system herbs work is that they help bring us into that state of like, okay, there's all this stuff going on in the world. How do I come into this present moment and be right here, right now? And like really turn inward. What's going on within me right now? And a lot of the times we think of nervous system herbs as just being like, oh, I'm just feeling frazzled. I just want to get out of this. But really what's kind of cool and what I love about herbalism is that it can be this way that kind of like builds upon one another. So if we're working with nourishing herbs on a day-to-day basis, bringing that nourishment into our body, then the nervous system herbs can go that much further and be like, okay, you know, what does being an earth paste really mean for me? What do I need in this moment? And you have that like true awareness of what you truly need to be able to function well. And the nervous system herbs also help to, I believe, in my personal opinion, and this may not be for everybody, but like help tap us into that broader picture. So it helps really connect us into the energy of above and below and helps us kind of see what's possible on the other side and like really start getting into that realm of the seen and the unseen. And this is where I think like the thinning of the veil comes in and why I love having that connection to herbalism. Because when we do things like meditation, we're tapping into something that's not necessarily in this physical realm anymore, right? We're tapping into whether it's your higher self that you like to think of or your wider self, as like Asia Suler likes to put it, which I love that because it helps take out the hierarchy of thinking mm-hmm. of a part of myself that's like bigger than who we are. And some of the nervous system herbs help to kind of just bring that sense of calm and that like quieting of the mind. And some of my favorite herbs are herbs that, you know, have a lot of the aromatic qualities. And really that is something that helps to define a nervine herb. It's those like volatile oils. So if you think about things like essential oils, like we feel calm when we smell lavender, or rose or anything like that, it brings us automatically into this, like, everything's okay. Right. And again, that's the way that the herbs help to communicate to us, is by having these like really aromatic qualities. They also help with like digestion, but that can be another episode. I don't want to get too far off on a tangent. But I love things like, my absolute ally for the nervous system right now is Damiana or vervain. Love those herbs. And they tend to be herbs that also are recognized in ceremonial spaces. So some of the nervous system herbs can be used not only in tea, but also in smoke cleansing, or, you know, helping to set that kind of space. So things like Palo Santo or mugwort also can work in this way for us, because again, it's helping to shift that consciousness, right, out of the kind of mundane everyday space into, okay, I'm in ceremony with myself, which I think is really beautiful. Other nervous system herbs, I mean, we've talked about lavender. Butterfly blue pea is one that I've recently started working with.
I love butterfly blue pea.
I had never worked with it before this month, and I've heard a lot about it, but butterfly blue pea is a little freaking powerhouse, man. Like, it's got so many really cool qualities, but also can be considered a nourishing herb as well. It's got a lot of those vitamins and minerals that we need, and it also works on the nervous system. And it's freaking cool.
Well, and that's such a good, when you're talking about making magic out of the mundane, if you need something to make you feel witchy and cool as fuck with little to no effort.
Yeah.
Get yourself a lemon and some butterfly pea and make yourself a cute little tea, and it'll change colors and it's so fun.
Yeah, it's like alchemy in action. I love it.
Yes.
Or like, it's one of those that you can just use in so many ways. If you want to dye with it, if you want to make your coffee blue, you know.
Dye and my brain went death, not oh. Your fabric.
I mean, that's fair. We do talk about that a lot on this.
Like, season. Bury me with butterfly pea flowers, just a bunch of them.
Oh my gosh, that would be so lovely though.
It would be. How pretty. How
I need
pretty
to change my documents.
Everyone get out the death file. We've gotta make some adjustments.
Butterfly blue pea. So I'm curious for you, Cheyenne, like, I know you work with herbs to help with things like calming and stuff like that. Are there any that like really speak to you and your nervous system, or any kind of allies that you've like found along the way?
I definitely use a lot of vervain in tea. And I mean, and like, tea and infusions tends to be where I'm using herbs most, just because it's accessible and lazy.
It's honestly, it is my number one favorite way to work with herbs. Like, I feel like herbalists have their things. Like, I know my dad, for example, loves to work with tinctures. I hardly ever work with tinctures. Tea is like my thing, and it's like my daily ritual. Yeah.
Yeah. It's easy. I can do it always. And you can build on tea, which I really love. So yeah, I definitely use a lot of vervain. I mean, chamomile is a go-to for me, for nervous system calming stuff. I drink a lot of chamomile tea. And then butterfly pea. I do a lot of butterfly pea, and one of my favorite blends right now is a chamomile butterfly pea blend.
That sounds so cozy.
Yeah, it's just anything that can help offset the excessive amounts of caffeine that I consume and get that heart rate at a regular level is helpful.
Right. And like, butterfly blue pea has like, it smells like molasses and cotton candy almost.
Yeah, it's got a very like almost tropical kind of fruit. Like, it has a fruit scent to it.
Yeah. Almost. Well, it does grow in the tropics. So
yeah, I love it. Well, and blue, I always love anything like blue flowers are so, like, they're rare. You don't see blue, like those colors of bright, like viridian blue, viridian green, LOL.
But that's like another way that the plants communicate to us, right? Like, the actual color of their flowers, like a lot of the herbs that we think of that help to regulate the nervous system are like blue or purple. But think about that. It's all in your mind, right? Oh, or like those like portals from the chakras align with those.
Yeah. Colors. And I use a lot of lavender too. But I think that's where like herbalism, I think sometimes can feel overwhelming and inaccessible just because of the sheer amount of herbs that exist out there that are everywhere. Right. It is okay if you're starting or you're coming into this with like prepackaged tea.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is perfectly valid. That's a good way to start to figure out what works for you, what you like, you know, before you invest in, you know, maybe growing or building your own kind of baby apothecary.
Yeah. And this kind of came to me like as you were just saying that, but you could almost work with a prepackaged tea similar to the way that you would work with like trying to align with a tarot deck or, you know, like when you talk about like going into a crystal shop and you just kind of wander and see like what speaks to you. Maybe you could do a similar sort of almost divination with the package of tea and like read what plants are in it and like see who jumps out at you. Like, is it the lavender in the tea blend that's speaking to you or the butterfly blue pea? And explore that further and be like, okay, why is this plant speaking to me more loudly than the others? What does it have as far as properties? And that's where you can start. And I mean, that's where I think if anybody wants to get into herbalism, working with plants in that way, where you don't try to work with like 20 at one time, you pick one that speaks to you and work with it for a month. Work for, you know, like burdock root, I've been working with since September.
Yeah.
And like, I just can't let it go. Like, I was even like, okay, I should probably work with a different nourishing herb in the next few months, but that one just speaks to me right now. And it's doing some deep work that I need. And sometimes you just have to kind of trust in that process and not overthink it. Again, making the complex simple, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I also, I mean, the other place that I'm using it is going to be like in ritual baths.
Yes. Oh, thank you. I was going to actually.
Which is also like, y'all, I am a slut for a stupid bath with 400 million things in it. Like,
honestly, your baths look divine though. Like, you're the ultimate like icon for self-care and bath form.
But cleaning, I understand that cleaning ritual baths is annoying, and that's a reason Super. Why a lot of people don't do them is because you don't want to strain your water, you don't want to try to pick all the gunk out afterwards. So bagged tea is a great way to soak yourself in herbs too.
Yep.
And then you just, they scoop right out real easy. It's not as aesthetically pleasing, but light a couple extra candles and throw some bubbles in there and you'll have no idea. It's perfect.
Right. You have the exact same properties.
Yes.
Or
that's probably I the love other that way that I'm using them a lot is.
Yeah. And I love that you like drink tea while you're in the bath a lot too. So like, if that's something where you're like, oh, I don't want it in the water, you can also call in the properties of the herb if you drink it physically and then just kind of like let it do its thing while you're in this really relaxed state.
Yeah.
I love that. Are there like any herbs that you like really gravitate toward in your ritual baths?
Tends to be more floral, like more like rose hips.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be good.
Rose hips are great in the bath, or I use a lot of chamomile in the bath too. And lavender, obviously lavender in the bath is easy. Things like eucalyptus, and rosemary in the bath too. Like the aromatics are nice, because sprigs of rosemary are also very easy to clean out of your bath. Like other herbs, you're not like crunching them up. You're not doing like a bunch of dried. If you just get like fresh rosemary from the grocery store, or that you grow yourself and you can just cut a couple of sprigs and pop it in there like you're a little pot roast. crock-potting away.
A little crock pot bath.
Yeah, a little crock pot bath. You get all of those delicious oils and aromatics too. So, I mean, you guys, you know that I'm still like, I'm using the same four things.
But that's beautiful, right? Like, again, when you want to get into herbalism, like you will find that there are herbs that are like lifelong allies. Like rosemary is a big ally for Cheyenne. And I've really loved that. Rosemary and I just don't vibe. Like I was just going to tell you, I nourished and nurtured this little rosemary plant all spring. And I was like, okay, I'm going to bring it in over the winter to let it like overwinter. And then I'm going to replant it back outside. Like we're going to have this wonderful rosemary plant. It died. I have no idea why it died.
It's like, no, forget it.
I gave it so much attention, but I can't grow rosemary. We just don't vibe, and that's okay. That is okay.
That's so funny. And I think that's why, you know, and that's why she's so powerful for me, is because she's like, I know you're not going to do a lot of work beyond this. You're lucky that I can do a lot of things.
But I also like that when we're talking about like multimodalness of herbs too, the herbs that you're working with in your bath, they're deeply restorative to the nervous system, but then they're also really good for skin. Mm-hmm. Things like chamomile and lavender and rosemary is wonderful for your hair. Like, you're getting these multi-purposes out of it, and just plants are fucking magic.
I use a lot of tea tree too. In like more topical. I'm like, that's the one that I'm using in more like medicinal senses of like drying stuff out. And but I put it in my baths too. It's good. It's good for your skin if you are someone who is oily.
That would be me as well.
And like, if your alien skin from your previous planet struggles to regulate,
I was wondering how aliens would make it into this episode.
Wait, we finally watched Asteroid City last night.
Oh wait, I haven't heard of that one.
Oh, it was the new Wes Anderson last year.
Oh gosh.
I need you to watch it because I didn't actually read the synopsis before watching it. And the moment, spoiler alert, there's an alien. The moment you see the alien, I lost my mind because he is so silly. Like,
oh, I thought
so
you were gonna say he was a zaddy.
No.
Oh, too bad.
He is not a hot, he does not classify as a hot alien, but it was very cute and it made me laugh. And Telluride is now chewing the bundle of lavender that is behind me on this table. So that's her favorite ally too.
So is the alien, what's that movie with like where he's voiced by Seth Rogen?
Oh my God, we watched that together in high school.
Yeah. I actually very much love that movie.
Where they're in like that camper.
Right. And it's got the two guys from the zombie movie.
Yes.
There's somebody listening to this podcast right now that's like screaming the name.
Yeah, they're like, they know. We'll find it. I'll put it in the show notes.
I want to say it's like Fred, but I'm like, it's not Fred because that was the YouTube channel we used to watch. But it has like a very simple name like that.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember, but it was very funny because there's like the dance. There's like a dance sequence that I can see in my head happening right now.
Good times.
Amazing.
But anyhow, that was basically what I wanted to cover today in our herb corner.
That was our herb corner with a little last minute alien tangent.
But I am curious, like, how are you going to challenge yourself to make magic out of the mundane this month?
That is a good question because I am feeling that burnout right now. I am starting some new projects and some new year things that I am excited about, but also require a fair amount of energy exchange. And so I think I am going to more intentionally, like I would like to do, I want actually, I'm going to challenge myself to do some of those overnight infusions.
Oh, yay.
We'll put Mr. Wiggles to work. It's been a while. It's been a while since we've
talked. The OG people know who Mr. Wiggles is.
So yeah, I think I want to more intentionally build those relationships with these herbal allies who I do use all the time. And just, I think, and maybe I need to journal how I feel afterwards, yeah. Like physically. I think sometimes I don't, I don't think that I'm feeling a physical reaction to something until you take it away. And then you're like, oh, that actually really is impacting me. And I didn't recognize it when it was happening. So I think, maybe just more intentionally recording when I am working with these herbs and how it makes me feel and going from there. That's kind of but I love the tucking in. Like I like that's very cute and fun. And I'm trying to build my rituals back in. Like I've been making pour over coffee again instead of using the espresso machine. And just trying to find those ways to, you know, extend those little everyday chores an extra 5 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's not a lot to just like sit and ground and like pull that tarot card. I've been way more mindful of my screen time lately, and especially in these last few weeks. So that's something I want to continue doing too, of like waking up and doing my routine and doing this magic before checking into the outside world. So like fortifying myself essentially, and armoring up as opposed to like recovery.
Right.
That's
the intention I want to bring in too. Cause like I'm a TikTok girly. I love TikTok and I spend way too much time on it. So yeah, I love that. And I also like what you said about recording it, because I think that's another, like, I guess, advocacy point for why you want to maybe just work with one herb at a time, is like, you can really see what the effects of it are and build that relationship, because you actually understand how it's working in your body, how it feels, and what messages you receive from it.
Yeah. So that's kind of my challenge. What about you?
Yeah. So I really want to call in more meditation. Like, I just don't feel like I have like a very consistent practice with it. And especially when we're thinking about things like, how do we master our nervous system and feel more grounded? And I just want to have a deeper practice with that. And I love the idea of being more intentional with like cleansing herbs or blessing herbs, or even just bringing tea into, or like maybe having a tea before I meditate in the morning or whatever, just to help really bring me into that space, that kind of consciousness shifted space. And so, again, I think I kind of tend to like overcomplicate meditation. And so it can just really be like more of that kind of routine of, okay, I'm having this tea, that means I'm going into this space, and just kind of building that muscle memory.
Yeah, I love that. I think a lot of people have that problem too, where it's like, it's the same feeling with meditation as it is with like starting with the herbs too, where it's like, no, dial it back. You don't have to explain away or understand any of this. You just have to notice it.
Yeah.
And like, that is enough.
Absolutely.
You are enough. You get better. You get better at shit the longer you do it. So, keep at it.
And we would love for everyone who's listening to share with us on Instagram what you're going to challenge yourself to do for making the mundane magical. Because all of us, like everyone in this community, have like such beautiful ideas. And like, especially another shout out to the weekly working challenge. That group has been so freaking cool, y'all. It's like a small little group so far, but like, I've gotten some really cool ideas from some of the people in that group, or just like the way that it's like so supportive of one another. Like, it's just been a dream come true. It's become everything that we intended it to be. So if you're interested in joining the weekly working challenge and having some accountability buddies to help you in your making the mundane magical over this month, like, join us and we would love to have you.
Yes. It's a beautiful group of people. And yeah, so many good witch hacks.
Literally.
Where I'm like, oh, great idea.
And so many of them are like really simple, where you're just like, fuck, why didn't I ever think of that?
Yeah. Super easy stuff you already have.
Yeah.
Stuff you're already doing. That's just like, hey, if you just, you know, add some intention and a little incantation before this, like,
great.
Really shift
the magic
of this kind of work. So I think that is a beautiful Perwitchin slip.
Oh yes.
Today I would also like to offer a two-part Perwitchin slip. We are going to be putting some resources both to educate and activate around the crisis currently happening in Gaza and elsewhere in the world, but that will be in the show notes and in the Instagram caption. So while your Perwitchin slip is to nourish and go inward and take care of yourself, that also comes with an action item of putting that energy back forward. Are you laughing at Telluride being a menace while call people
I
to
very
action?
Much appreciate your message, but like, Telly's like so distracting in the back, where she's just like moving a box around and all you see is like one little paw.
She's a criminal. Do not listen to Telluride. But yes, so there will be resources for you, because I understand how overwhelming it can feel to start or to know where to know where you're getting accurate information, or to know that your energy and resources are going to places that are actually helping. So we will put some of our own research in the Instagram caption and in our show notes so that you can keep educating yourself as well. Because we only get to do things like this because of the sacrifices of so many people who have come before us, and deconstruction, it matters to all of us. Like, colonialization hurts us all, truly.
Right.
On that note, but thank you too, Shale, for like always being so lovely and sharing all of these practical, accessible, like you peel back the veil in a way that makes this feel less scary to a lot of people and less intimidating. And I appreciate that because I always learn so much from Herb Corner.
Thank you.
I love this space. You're a nourishing herb.
Oh, stop. I think that's also a good place to kind of start planting the seed, because Cheyenne and I have been talking a lot about like what the future of OBMM looks like. And we want to start like transitioning you all softly. So before you freak out, OBMM's not going away. That's not happening at all. But we're going to be seeing some transitions in the next year.
Yes.
We want this, like what we really set out to build with OBMM was the community. And that has been such a beautiful thing that's come of this. Like, we really, I feel like, have met that intention. And we'd never want to lose that. We want to keep nourishing and tending that. But Cheyenne and I have some really exciting things that are coming this year, kind of our own individual product or projects. you can tell we live in capitalism and that sort of
thing. LOL.
But we have some really big things that are coming for our kind of individual journeys. And so we want to kind of build space for that. And so we're going to be shifting kind of the way that OBMM is released in the next year. And so it won't be a weekly podcast anymore. And we actually are kind of excited about that because, you know, we have kind of our start of Samhain and then we go to February and then we say see you later for like 6 months. So instead it'll be a year of OBMM, but we will show up once a month to be with you all instead of
bless your ear holes.
Yeah. So we'll still be here. It's just going to look a little bit differently. And yeah, we're excited to start kind of sharing what's going to be happening in our personal lives. And Tova's a big piece of that. So we're finally giving Tova some love and helping her come to fruition. And Cheyenne's doing some really amazing writing projects. And yeah, so cool things are coming this year. And a lot of where we are today is thanks to the podcast and this community we've built. So thank you all for your support over the last 5 seasons. And yeah, you helped us come out of our little shells, and we really appreciate that.
Love you so much, Coven. Cheers, witches.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Ouija Boards and Midnight Marks. If you're having a witching good time, we hope you'll help us to grow this little coven. You all know it's us against AI in this algorithm world, so please help us out. Please like, rate, and subscribe anywhere you're listening to us. Also, we want to connect with our spooky marg-loving friends out there, so please like and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Links for those profiles will be in the show notes. And hey, be sure to tell us what you're drinking tonight. We love you all so much, witches. Cheers.